Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America. I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter, and you're listening to the Wild Game Domain on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Welcome back, everyone, and today we are joined by, first of all, my diva co-host, Jesse. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Chad. How are you?
Good. I think she's at her mansion, like, lounged out, getting her nails done by her people. No, she's broken down somewhere on the side of some godforsaken New Jersey highway.
No, it's actually the Belt Parkway.
Ew.
Yeah, the Belt Parkway. It was like sitting in a parking lot.
Well, I'm glad you could call in, and I'm very excited because we have a good friend of mine. He is the owner of Badass Organics, BAO, as it's pronounced, I believe. He'll correct me if I'm wrong. Badass Organics. His name is Michael Schwartz. Welcome aboard, Mike.
Thanks, Chad. It's good to be here.
So, we were discussing before we walked in here, what the hell is this show about? And it's really a show, you know, it's kind of like Seinfeld. It's about nothing, about everything. We could talk about whatever we want. No one cares. And today it's go ahead, Jess.
Well, Chad, I mean, I just want to, you know, jump in a second. I mean, I think it perfectly fits because, well, talk about hunting, you talk about eating meat not from a factory farm.
Right.
And what Mike's doing is taking control and, you know, it's like, hey, you know, I want to eat the right stuff and I'm going to make the right stuff.
Right. That's where we got to take this conversation. So what I want to do, though, is start at the beginning. I used to work with Mike. We both worked at the Institute of Culinary Education in Manhattan, and Mike's a great chef, awesome resume. We could talk more about that. But he came into work one day and he said, hey, jackass, you ever try kombucha? And I was like, first of all, speak English. All right, it's America. I don't even know. And he started explaining kombucha. And you know what? He gave me some. And I said, all right, I'll try this. And I was like squinting my eyes. I was all nervous. And I drank it. And I said, holy cow, stuff's good. Explain this to me. And he started going into the whole routine. So then, and now I'm going to let Mike talk right after this. He said, okay, I'm starting a company. He's like, I want you to invest. I know you don't have any money, but your wife has a lot of money, right? And I said, yeah, but I gotta sell her. Do you have a pamphlet or something? And he said, no, I don't have any. Just tell her it's a great idea. It's gonna be great. So I went home and I said, my buddy Mike is making raw fermented tea. And it's ancient. Don't worry. It's good. And it's probiotic. And my wife's like, you're a jackass. Go away. I'm not giving you or Mike any money. And so here we are. I hope you're listening, my dear wife, because we have the big man right here who's now rolling in all this money. But start at the beginning, Mike. Kombucha, right? That's where this whole story started.
Right. So it actually started a couple of months before kombucha. We got to the kombucha phase. And my business partner, actually, and college buddy, hounded me for years to start a business together. And so we wanted to make something that was healthy. So like you said, I teach at the Institute of Culinary Education also. And after rambling on about nutrition for 12 years, I decided that I should put my money where my mouth is and make something that was healthy for people to eat. So we tried to make this fermented soda. And it was,
oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah, right.
It was god awful. Like, some of them were great.
I don't know. Your ginger one was
good?
Yeah,
the ginger one was good. But then we tried to make a berry one. It was god awful. It smelled like your shoes after, like, a triple.
Right.
You know, it was awful. And so we couldn't really control the bacteria culture. And
but why? Real quick. Sugar content?
Yeah, Well, you know, there's, you know, culinary school, it had wild bacteria all over the place. And so we would start without a culture and just let whatever grow, whatever was in the air grew in there. So sometimes it was really good and sometimes it wasn't so good.
Right.
So then we started fooling around with the kombucha culture with the goal of using that as the starter. And the kombucha sold so well that we just never bothered making soda. From there, we moved to a little place in Hell's Kitchen and started selling the kombucha out of that place. And a year later, we didn't have enough room, so we moved to Queens. And once we moved there, we had a ton of space, and we started to make all these other things. So now Bao isn't really about kombucha anymore. I mean, we do still make kombucha, and we sell a lot of it, but we sell a lot of our other products as well.
Right. Let's back up a little bit, though. So you're in Hell's Kitchen. That's where it all began. And you're trying to get this kombucha marketed out. And you're going basically door to door in the neighborhood. And I know you had a couple ideas. You were thinking about these juice bars kind of places, right? You wanted to sell it by the keg.
Yeah, we tried a lot of different options. So we tried to sell it. We still do sell some kegs to a few stores around town, to a few bars and places around town. And so actually some up in Ithaca. And then we wanted to sell growlers, big, like, by bulk product. But right around the same time that we launched was that big alcohol issue with the kombucha in 2010. Was that 2010?
Something like that,
2011. Yeah. So then, like, everybody took a step back, and we had to reformulate So, but at the time, we got into a lot of stores because
of that. And the problem with that was what? The FDA got involved?
The TTB, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, your favorite governmental organization, got involved with regulating this health product.
Because there was an alcohol content they figured out.
Right, well, the problem with all fermentation is very often yeast comes into play. And when you make kombucha especially, you specifically use some yeast. And you get, you do have a little bit of alcohol formation, but in the kombucha as well, you have acetobacter, which is the same bacteria that's used to make vinegar, and you have lactobacillus, which is the same bacteria that's used to make your dried deer salami,
right,
as well as yogurt and other things.
Right.
So the bacteria consume the alcohol.
Right.
So if you do it correctly, you end up with a very low alcohol, almost negligible alcohol content. And if you're not careful, then you end up with more alcohol, and we're talking like 1.5-2%. I mean, very small amounts.
Still
of alcohol.
Low, yeah.
Still low.
Okay, and so you know the company started growing. You had to move to the Long Island City,
right?
And you kind of moved into a smaller kitchen, really, within a building.
It was an old industrial building, and prior to us, it was used as a bakery, and it was 12,000 square feet. We thought we were gonna knock it out of the park with this kombucha, and of course, you know, who's going to drink kombucha besides you?
Right.
So, we started making some other products, and then we started to rent space to other companies, other small manufacturers, and started the organic food incubator. So now we provide space for 14 different food manufacturers. We do contract manufacturing. We actually make the product for another 10, and we offer daily kitchen rentals for another 15 to 18 companies.
That's awesome.
In our space.
That's
so
awesome.
If you have an idea for a business, you can come in, make it in our kitchen, and take it to market. It's a safe, legal kitchen.
Right. And you guys are basically holding their hand from start to finish.
Yeah, we do consulting. We offer, you know, when people are in there, we're always around. So we help them with the equipment, and we help them get things done. And we're constantly talking about different ways to get it to market and options and things.
All right. We're going to get back to that. But what I want to do is explain to my audience what kombucha is exactly. Tell me a little bit about the history of kombucha, the whole story behind it. Because, you know, truthfully for me, while I think I've become accustomed to drinking it and the taste of it, I enjoy it now. I think the history appeals to me, and the whole idea of this, the health benefits of it, obviously a pint a day in that whole business. So tell me a little bit about the kombucha.
Oh, and Mike, can you also talk about, because a lot of people won't understand the difference when you use a bacteria and a yeast.
Okay.
For a beverage, yeah.
Okay. So, well, kombucha, nobody really knows, right? People claim that it came from Western China, right, about 2,500 years ago. And it's very similar to a Russian drink called kvass, which is made with like old rye bread, fermented rye bread, as a starter. And but it falls into the whole category of fermented products. And, you know, the more we learn and the more we pay attention to our bodies, the more we realize that the human body is just a giant host for a multitude of bacteria and microorganisms. So you constantly need to replace that. So the kombucha, because it's made with a variety of microorganisms, is a perfect kind of starter culture for your body to get your body back into shape if you've been eating like a not natural diet.
Right.
So, and to get to Jesse's point, when you ferment, yeast produces alcohol. Right, it produces alcohol and carbon dioxide when it consumes sugar. So when you make beer, you use yeast. When you make wine, you use yeast. And it always produces alcohol. And when you ferment with bacteria, typically, depending on the variety of bacteria, it produces a specific kind of acid. So bacteria, some of them like to eat sugar, some of them that like to eat alcohol. And so they'll break down the alcohol, and in the case of kombucha, the acetobacter produces acetic acid,
okay,
right, which is basically vinegar. And the lactic acid, the lactobacillus produces lactic acid.
But you're not physically adding this bacteria. You are attracting this bacteria.
Well, what we do, I mean, we have the same batch of kombucha that we started in 2009.
Right.
So this, you know, we
I had part of that in my kitchen.
And, right. And your wife probably threw it out.
Eventually, she just had it. That was it. So now I have to buy it.
But, right.
Okay.
So we start in our fermenter. We take away what we want to use and bottle and sell. And then we just feed it again, just kind of like you would feed a sourdough starter.
Right.
Right. Right.
And so basically, we just add sweetened iced tea to the kombucha, to the old starter, and we just keep it going. So...
And it's the sweetened iced tea because you're using the sugar as a food.
Right. So the sugar becomes the food for the microorganisms, exactly.
And this is all, obviously, like any fermentation, temperature controlled.
Yeah. Temperature is very important. We have a room that we keep constant temperature all year round, and we use it to ferment our kombucha. We also use it to ferment the raw slaws, which are like sauerkraut or kimchi,
right,
and the hot sauces and everything.
So what I'm seeing for the kombucha, and then we'll move on off of this, it's just where you guys started, so I want to make sure everyone understands this. So I'm seeing multiple vats, right,
yep,
here now, because you're drawing off of one,
right,
refeeding it,
right,
and now we got to wait. There's a period, right, of time to allow for the fermentation.
So you still do it in a 5 gallon bucket.
Right.
Did I give you a 5 gallon bucket with a spout
in? Spigot, yeah.
Right. So that's what we started with, right? So now we ferment in 550 gallon stainless steel containers. It's quite a difference. And you remember the SCOBY, the rubbery thing that grows on top? So that thing's huge.
Oh my God.
Right?
You could probably stand on it.
It's massive. Yeah, you could take it, use it for a surfboard.
Yeah, so during this fermentation, there's this SCOBY, and it's on the surface of the tea, and it just hangs there, and it's basically white, and you could Google this and look at them. It's truthfully very unappetizing to see that part of it.
That'll immediately stop you from drinking kombucha.
Yeah, it didn't stop me, though. I was like, cool, let me try it. And from underneath this SCOBY on top of the tea, there's these tentacles that kind of hang down into the tea, right? And that's,
yep,
the yeast strands?
Yeah, it's usually like dead yeast cells and dying yeast cells.
Right, so it's all part of the mixture. But, you know, by the time you guys, and I'm imagining you filter it off.
Absolutely.
To some,
yeah,
degree. Yep. I always like the little bit of gelatinous mass at the bottom.
I could send you some if you want.
I like it in proportion to the liquid. I don't want a big quart of goop rubber balls. Yeah, at the bottom. All right, cool. So now we understand kombucha, and that's where this whole bow thing started. And
right,
and what's the name of the incubator too? They're two separate businesses. Basically, you're running bow,
right,
out of the incubator.
Right. So now, right. So bow was the impetus for the organic food incubator because, like, when we started, nobody wanted to help us. We were like, everybody was slamming doors in our face. Nobody wants to help a new business. So we couldn't. Nobody would sell us bottles. Nobody would sell us bulk ingredients. It was unbelievable. So we wanted to offer a solution to other businesses starting out so that they didn't have those issues. And so that's where the organic food incubator came from.
That's awesome. It's 15 minutes already. Let's take a short break here. You believe it, Jess? It happened so fast.
I know. 3 weeks.
All right. We got Mike Schwartz here from Bao Organic. What is it?
Organic Food Incubator.
And the Organic Food Incubator. Sorry, I should have did some research prior to the show. We're going to be right back with the Wild Game Domain.
You are listening to Quitting Time by Pamela Royal on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Hey, welcome back. I'm your host, Chad Pagano. We're joined by my co-host, Jesse Riley, and a very special guest, Michael Schwartz from Bao today. And we're talking about his product line, fermentation, and basically his business life story here, how he started this, you know, really cool kind of concept. You know, so before the break, Mike, you were talking about, you know, no one helping you, you know, small business, the problems that exist, trying to do a startup. And so, you know, you had this huge building, and,
right?
And you thought, "Hey, let's do something to help help these companies."
Right. So,
and Mark, do you also have somebody from the USDA there?
No, it's not. No. It's not a USDA facility. It's actually regulated by the New York State Department of Agriculture, who, as far as governmental agencies, is awesome. They are great to work with.
Really?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Wow.
Really helpful. They're great to work with.
I'm shocked. And what do they do? What's their
point? They inspect our facility and make sure everything's safe, make sure all the companies are doing what they're supposed to be doing. But they do it in a gentle, teaching way, and they're just really awesome to work with.
And how often does that happen? Are they on site? Or
No, they come in. They inspect each business at least once a year. So they're, you know, close to 40 businesses, so they're there very often.
Now, what about you guys who are also, this is a certified organic facility?
Well, so organic certification is like a huge, that's like a three-show event.
Okay.
Right, but the short story is, we went through the process to have BAL certified organic, and then if we make other people's products, we can put them on our license. And so there are a lot of things that we have to do to follow, like purchasing the ingredients from certified organic suppliers. We have a special way to clean that we have to follow to make sure there's no chemicals in the product. And there's a lot of paperwork involved that we have to file. So we do all of that. And so we can offer organic certification to the other companies that are there, and we do it for three or four of them. And then there's some conventional companies as well, but we don't let any chemicals into the place. So there's no high fructose corn syrup. There's no...
regardless of them working benzoate on your license or not.
They just don't let them work in my space. There are enough other incubators, they can go somewhere else.
That's great.
The space is also gluten-free because we have a gluten-free baker, so...
Right.
Which, you know, it's kind of by default because we make food and we don't bake, so that it's just naturally gluten-free, but since free bread is there, we've kept the whole place gluten-free.
So the whole...
The whole facility is gluten-free.
You will not take a cookie
maker. We won't
take
any. Nope. Well, as long as they're a gluten-free cookie. Free. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, they can make cookies
cookie.
Without
No, gluten. I don't consider that a cookie. That's me, though. But it's right. America. You can believe right. whatever you want. If you think that's a cookie, God bless you.
Right.
For me, not so much. It's a chewy, round, snacky thing, as far as I'm concerned. All right. So, you know, we started with the kombucha. I told you I didn't invest. Now I'm broke doing a show in Brooklyn, still working at the school. You have a whole line of other products that right. kind of branched out from right. the kombucha, and they're all fermented products.
All right, so all of the bio products are fermented. So, you know, when we realized that we had this huge space and we had this warm room, we could make other things. We started to make a couple varieties of fermented vegetables. So you're eating the tangy slaw, which is kind of a – can you hear that?
Can you hear the crunch of that carrot?
It's kind of like a fancy sauerkraut. All right, and then we also make a kimchi variety, which is very spicy, and then a few other ones, and we're about to launch a couple new products. And we also make a few varieties of hot sauce and a ketchup, which is fermented, and then a couple of fermented energy shots, which
right, so,
we'll talk about in a few minutes.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. That's my favorite. I love these slaws. These slaws are great. The one I'm trying now is called Raw Slaw Tangy. Real simple. It's got a beautiful earthy look to it, the orange from the carrots, the cabbage yep. in there. It's got great textural differences, you know, so you get a little bit of the cabbage, a crunch from the carrots, and it's not overwhelming, you know, for a fermented product, and that's what I
right.
like.
Right. So, well, one of the things we wanted to do was, you know, Americans aren't really familiar with the fermented food. You know, Germans know sauerkraut. You know, Asians right. know kimchi. You know, every culture in the world is ripe with fermented products because of the health benefits, but Americans have, because of the industrialization of food in the, you know, in the 40s and 50s and even worse in the 80s and 90s, the American public has kind of lost their taste for fermentation
right.
and they're afraid of it. So we wanted to make something right. that wasn't super pungent.
And that's the government's fault, by the way. But
yes,
ahead.
I agree. 100% it's the government's fault. So we wanted to make something that was a little bit more mild and easily approachable for Americans. And so we have these vegetables and the hot sauces and this fermented ketchup. And they're all made – it's called wild fermentation. So what we do – and just real simple because I don't want to make Chad's brain stop this
Thank
morning.
I have a long day.
It all has to do with salt. So when you pick up any vegetable in the grocery store, it's covered with bacteria. It's got probably – everything on it, from pathogens, salmonella, E. coli, botulism for sure, all kinds of stuff on there. And lactobacillus as well. And so we want to discourage all of the pathogens and encourage the lactobacillus. And you do that with salt.
Which runs counter to what I know, so I'm interested in
yeah,
this.
So okay. salt, luckily, for some reason, lactobacillus loves salt. Not a lot, but a little bit. So the kind of salt that we like is the kind of salt that lactobacillus likes.
Okay.
And I can email or I can Facebook post a quick recipe if you want to your show or something.
Yeah, that'd
on.
Be great.
Because it's very, very simple. I mean, I taught my kid's 4 years old. I taught his pre-K class how to make lacto-fermented pickles a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it's... Four-year-olds can do it.
So walk us through it. So, because I'm confused. I'm waiting for the punchline here with the salt.
Right.
Because salt
right.
usually
it's
is
slows
detrimental
the yeast down. Right.
Right. To fermentation.
Right. So it does. It stunts the yeast. It stunts the salmonella. It stunts the right. E. coli. It slows down the botulism, but it encourages the lactobacillus. And and over a few hours after the lactobacillus starts to multiply, it starts to excrete lactic acid.
Right.
The pH drops below 4.6, which is the key number.
Right.
Below 4.6, pathogens can't grow.
Right.
And it'll drop even farther, but once you have that set up, there's no botulism, salmonella, E. coli, none of that stuff can grow.
So that's the mechanism how good bacteria, if you allow the good bacteria in your food, you can crowd out the bad bacteria.
Exactly. It's all about domination. And the lactobacillus is dominant in a briny environment.
Wow, that's interesting.
And so all of our products are it's a little bit salty, right? It's a little briny.
Yeah, but not overwhelming.
Not overwhelming. Like, no, it's a little briny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not meant to eat as a salad. You know, right. You put it on a salami sandwich, or right. You put it, you know.
I'm thinking pulled pork.
You mix it into a stir fry, or yeah, pulled pork, yeah.
You know? That's what's great about this. I wish you could try it. Go out and try some of this, because it's real approachable. It's right. Not. So,
well, if somebody wanted to get some of it, where could they get it?
It's in a lot of stores around the city. You can get it online at our website.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, you go to the website. You got to see the list. I showed my wife last night because she wouldn't let me invest right. In this company. I said, now look where he's selling this stuff.
It's called Bao Food and Drink, BAOfoodanddrink.com.
Okay.
And so, well, resulting from the fermentation, this is where I want to go because the shots, I think, are so cool.
Okay.
Right, all that liquid that's left in the jar, when we make our fermented vegetables, we end up with gallons of leftover liquid, and we never knew what to do with it. But people love to drink pickle juice,
right.
So we started to bottle it. So now we've made these two little energy shots, and one of them is green, and one of them is red and full of ginger. And they all they both have their specific health attributes to it. And so,
as far as being probiotic,
yeah, they're probiotic. And then we put green tea in them for a little caffeine. Okay. And the green one has some deep sea algae in it, and the red one has ginger, hibiscus, which is tons of vitamin C, and astaxanthin, which is a really potent red algae antioxidant. It's what makes shrimp red, shrimp pink, and the lobsters red, the astaxanthin. Anyway, so we started selling these two little shots, and now we're about to launch two more. And so because I'm so creative, the green one we called Extreme Green.
Wow.
And the red one we called Extreme Red.
How do you businessmen come up with this
right,
stuff?
Right, I know.
How you do it.
You know, that's why I'm rolling in the dough.
I can see that.
But now we have two new ones.
Okay.
One of them has turmeric and dandelion root in it, and a little ginger and some other spices.
All right, mellow yellow.
Right there. So, right.
That's
okay.
Mellow yellow.
And then the other one is, I wanted to call it Extreme Black. It's got nigella seed,
right,
which is...
See, now,
I know. Well, that's kind of crazy. Well, right. My last name's Schwartz Black, right? So,
yeah.
Oh, all right. All right. Yeah. I thought it was going to, you know, because the libs are going to be out.
And no, because
like, what
the
are you, racist? Why
well,
it got to be black?
It's not really black, but it's really dark purple.
You don't make Extreme White?
It's got elderberry, nigella seed, which is a black onion seed from India. It's really good for you. Licorice.
Huh.
Licorice
root,
so it's really good for your liver. So it's got all these crazy things. So I'm looking for names for these. So anybody that wants to
Black
tweet
Power.
In your show, we can
Black
pick
Power
some names
right there. I got it.
That's all right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, this with all seriousness now. So it was funny because I don't see Mike that often, and every once in a while he shows up at the school, and he was handing out these shots. He said, "Here, try one of these." I was like, "Oh, what gimmick does he got now? He's blowing it. This is ridiculous." Because I'm against, like, obviously those 5-hour energy drinks and all that nonsense. So I didn't know where he was going. When I tried this, I couldn't believe how delicious. Just, you know, strong enough for a shot, you know, to get the flavor and the whole feel of the shot, but not overwhelming either, you know. And I said to him, being funny, I said, "Wow, I'm going to give me a case of these. I'm going to mix them with my vodka, you know, because then we'll have something here."
They make great dirty martinis.
Yeah, stuff like that. It'd be great. They're really excellent. So we're going to tell all our listeners to call Bao.
Yeah, call
and
Bao.
Suggest some names.
Tweet Bao and suggest some names.
Yeah, which is what you're at
BAO. BAO Food and Drink.
Food and Drinks. Yeah. Look them up. They have a great website. They have two websites, one for the incubator, one
right.
for Bao Food and Drink. Great websites. And it's really, I'm not saying it because I'm friends with this guy. Believe me, he knows the best. Our relationship has been making fun. We almost look alike, I guess people say.
People do say.
They confuse us. So, you know, as I'm walking
Is
through the
Is that why
hallway,
you grew that beard?
I did. We had to distinguish. We had to get a difference between us. I'm walking through the hallways at school, and, you know, to this day, there'll always be some dopey culinary student upstairs that says, "Hi, are you Mike Schwartz? Are you Chef Schwartz?" And I just say, "Yeah."
You know, it's funny. I was there last week, and I walked in, and I walked upstairs, and some student, some big, mean-looking student comes up to me and goes, "Why'd you give me that bad grade in my..." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like...
I'm like,
"Oh, Chad."
That's funny. Yeah. When I give bad grades, I always just sign your name on it now. So I'm like, and I put out your email. No, it's truthfully a great product, and I'm not just saying that. And if you're a startup business and you need some support and you need help, this is the guy to do it. I'm telling you, he's a great guy, and he's a brilliant business mind, never mind a great chef. So he's got all
it's
the
also,
elements.
It's also a beautiful space, too.
Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah, which I haven't got to see yet. I've been invited.
I haven't invited you, so.
No, he's invited me
only a million times.
But between, you know, saving the world, raising three kids, and dealing with my wife, never mind trying to, you know, remain employed. I've been very busy. But that's all the time we have, unfortunately, guys. That's it. That's a half hour already. You believe that?
Wow.
Yeah. I'd like to thank Joe for producing and engineering today's show. I'd like to thank Jess. Thanks for being with us today, Jess. Glad you could make it. Sorry about your flat tire.
Yeah.
And, of course, the mastermind behind Bao Food and Drink and the Organic Food Incubator, Mike Schwartz. Thanks for being with us today, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.